Take your Bible, turn over to the end of the book of John, over in chapter number 21. Tie a couple of verses of scripture here together, then we're going to chapter number 1 in the book of John. The Bible said in verse 25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." And then John closes with the word, amen. My mind just kind of took off a little bit this week. I told my wife coming to church, I've been thinking about Jesus, and we have a lot recorded in the Bible. Let me just say it like this. We have enough recorded in the Bible. The Word of God is complete. We have everything God wanted us to have. But when I look at that statement that John made, I begin to think about Jesus. And he did so much in his life that if it were written down, how many believes this is literal right here? If it were written down, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. I got to thinking about Jesus and how he marveled the lawyers and the doctors at 12 years old. Brother Grizzle, I couldn't help but think, wonder what was going on between 12 and 30. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. I think about Mary. Jesus was born, and the Bible said she kept these things in her heart. She pondered these things when the angel came to her. And I think about some of the things that Mary and Joseph must have seen and must have heard. Let me give you how the Lord's working in my heart just for a moment. Why did she even mention it to Jesus in John chapter 2 that they were out of wine? If she didn't know in her heart and believe in her heart, he could do something about it. Well, let me ask you this. If she knew in her heart and believed in her heart that he could do something about it, would it be logical to think that she had seen and heard enough in that young man's life to know there was something special about that young man, the Son of God that she had given birth to? I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. But I just believe that if Jesus had a buddy when he was growing up, that buddy might have seen something that somebody else didn't see. Amen? And that his mother, the lawyers, the doctors, they picked up on that in the temple. Man, he's got wisdom. Let me just give you something stronger than that. He is wisdom. Let me make another statement for us. There is no wisdom apart from him. Now go back with me to John chapter 20 for just a moment. I'll show you where we're going. In John chapter 20, Jesus said John said the whole books, if all of it was written, the whole books couldn't contain. Well, what that may mean too, that as you look at the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, that God gave us what he wanted us to have, but even in his earthly ministry after that he began his earthly ministry, there's just no way to record it all. Watch this now. In verse number 30 of chapter number 20, the Bible said, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." That goes along with what he had just said. Now, he used the word many. That could mean a lot of things, but I believe it means many. A multitude of things that Jesus accomplished, did in his life, that are not recorded in this book. Now watch this. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, watch this now, and that believing you might have life through his name. Let me stop and pray just a minute. I need God's help or I'm not going to get this thought across. Father, thank you for the blessing of life. Thank you for the blessing of eternal life. Thank you for the blessing of abundant life. Oh God, I pray this morning that you would fill our hearts, fill our minds, take control of this service. Help us, Lord, to glean truth that will transform our lives. Help us, Lord. Make us more like Jesus. Increase our faith. Help us, God, in these days to do the will of God till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You remember several weeks ago I preached a series of messages, several messages entitled Finding Help with Our Unbelief. And then God led us to Abraham, and we preached several messages on the subject Abraham believed God. The Bible said, these are written, what God has given us. John said, what God has given us, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart. And that believing you might have life through his name. I believe there's two things being pictured here. I told you in 1 John 5:13, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I believe he's talking about the beginning, the new birth, the salvation experience, but then the life that the Christian is to live by faith. We're justified by faith. And we're supposed to get up off of the altar and go walk by faith till Jesus comes. And then we can see him. And we'll no longer have to walk by faith. Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bible and turn to the book of John chapter 10 just a moment. John chapter 10 for just a moment. I was in a meeting not too long ago. I've noticed this going on for probably the last 15 to 20 years. I'm talking about meetings with pastors, meetings with evangelists, meetings with missionaries, meetings with the people that are leading the flock of God. And I've noticed, Brother Ralph, that the joy that used to be, you get in a meeting, Brother McCorkle, can you relate to what I'm saying? It just seems like the joy over the years just dwindles down, and there's no thrill, there's no excitement over the things of God anymore. I said one time, my wife and I were in Dollywood. We were sitting under a tabernacle listening. Somebody gave us a day. It was when they were having the gospel music down there. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting there busting and praising God. And I look around and I know some people. And there just seems to be no, where's the thrill over the things of God? Where's the thrill over victory was won at Calvary? I'm not fighting for the victory. I'm fighting from the victory that's already been won. Where's the joy? What's this? Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, I'm the door. Verse 9, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we have an enemy this morning. Let's just mark it down. He wants to destroy our joy. He wants to destroy our peace. He wants to destroy our very life. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to destroy our families, our children. are teenagers. He wants to destroy them. Now watch this. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Again, I do not think it's an accident in the Word of God. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life. Brother Lance said they might be saved by the grace of God. But that's not it. That's just the beginning. And that they might have life more abundantly. That's what the Word of God said. I'm telling you, the average sinner in Kingsport were to look at the average Christian, they would not want what the average Christian in Kingsport's got. They're miserable enough. Where's our joy? Where's that? The Bible said, let me read it. Let's go over to Peter. I'll find it in just a moment. Something like that used to embarrass me. But I'm too far down the trail to be embarrassed because I can't remember it. I'll go read it. Hebrews, James, and Peter. Here it is. Brother Brian goes along with Sunday school. Look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know where we're at today? We believe it would be more precious not to have the trial. Is that not right? Watch what the Bible said. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Is there anybody in this building this morning that says, I love him? I've never seen him, but I love him. Watch this. Though now you see him not, yet, what's the next word? Believing. Is that right? Yet believing. Watch this now. I'll tell you, God, the Holy Ghost in this. I'll show you in a minute. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy, Brother Rose, unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. That's what the Word of God said. So here's my point. I believe if we're not rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, we're not living an abundant life, then we're not believing God the way that God wants us to believe Him. You say, preacher, that's terrible. Listen to this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is. Okay? There again, salvation. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'll ask a couple questions right quickly. Are you living an abundant life? It's put under the microscope. God, the Holy Ghost is looking at it. Is it a life that is abundant? A life that is full? A life with joy? A life with peace? A life with the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you? Or have we settled down? I'm not just saying this morning, but probably the happiest person in this building is the young lady that was saved last Sunday morning. Yeah. Brother Grizzle, you're agreeing with me. Thank you, brother. We have a tendency to get over it. We have a tendency to start living like, well, after all, we deserve it. No, honey, I'm telling you right now, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl on this property today deserves to fry in hell forever and forever and ever. But here comes Jesus. He said, if you would believe me, I'll give you life. He said, I'll do better than that. I'll give it to you abundantly. Years ago, God is so good. Oh, He's so good. years ago. The Lord Jesus saved me. And anybody that knows me down through the years know I get around where this old book's being preached. Get around where these old songs are being sung. I'm just likely to get so full I can't stand it anymore. I tell you, if you want to see God bless our church, you ask God to just fill your pastor so full he can't stand it anymore. And he'll have to bust every once in a while. You ask God to fill your own heart till your grandchildren can see a mamaw and a papaw. Your children can see a mommy and a daddy that's full of God. We'll see a revival. It won't have to be worked up, pumped up, primed up. Years ago, a man wrote a song. I guess a song was written, I know that. The title of the song was Drinking from the Saucer, because the cup is overflowed. I've been around my grandparents' house when coffee was made in a percolator. Sometimes they set that thing, Brother Thurman, over on the wood stove. Put a few more pieces of wood in there and poked it a little bit. And I'm telling you, beloved, what you did not do is pour coffee out of that into a cup and put it up to your lips, because it would scald you. So old timers, they didn't want to wait for that coffee to cool down, so they would tilt that cup into that saucer. I will tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. You don't have to believe me. But our enemy, the devil, is trying to steal our joy, steal our peace. He wants us to cool off till this world can't see no difference between us and them. He wants us to settle down. I believe the Word of God said somewhere on our lees. Just sit back. Enjoy the ride. While the world goes to hell around us. Oh, beloved friend. John said here. Watch this. Go back to chapter 20 just a moment. John chapter 20. This is what I'm going to call the messages. I honestly believe, and there's the word again, that God has dealt so in my heart in these days. The Bible said, but these are written that you might believe. Brother Richard, that's what we'll call it. There'll be some subtitles along the way, that you might believe. How many is in agreement with me that most of the time when you talk about somebody believing, our mind goes to the salvation experience? How many is in agreement with that? That's what we, and I'm not being negative about that, but that's what we think. You know, so-and-so, you know, needs to be saved. They need to believe. But what about us so-and-sos that are saved? Don't we need to believe? I've heard people down through the years, and it's always kind of bothered me a little bit, and at times I've said something about it. They say something like, we need to pray God will take sleep away from them. What'd be wrong with praying God take sleep away from us? What'd be wrong with praying God take a couple hours of television away from us and get on our knees and pray? What'd be wrong with praying God take something we love and take some extra time in the Word of God? After all, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, I believe more Bible, more faith. I don't believe that we can ask Jesus to increase our faith if we're not willing to get in his book. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I read this last week. It's unknown who wrote it. This is what it said. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven. How many's on your way to heaven this morning? Amen. That faith as a grain of mustard seed placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever wrote this statement said, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. How many could use a little heaven in your soul? I couldn't read that, Brother Steve, without thinking about that centurion. He told Jesus, I believe that was his servant, wasn't it? I'm not sure now. If you know, Brother McCorkle, do you know that centurion that asked Jesus, was it to heal his servant, brother? Thank you. And Jesus was going to go, and he said, oh, no. You don't need to come down. I'm paraphrasing. You don't need to come down. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He said, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I've not found so great faith. No, not in all Israel. And if I'm correct, that man's a Gentile. And yet he's saying, Jesus, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. No, I don't want you to come down to my house. How many'd like for Jesus to come to your house today? I mean, that'd be all right with me. But he said, just speak the word. He probably knew Jesus was busy, had other things to do. And Jesus said, I've not found so great faith. No, not in all Israel. I'd like to have some of that faith, Brother Lance, that would bring heaven into my soul. I'm hesitant to say this. It might be a small thing. But a little while back, they were getting ready to try to get blood out of Brother Gale. And Bob, he was black and blue all the way up his arm. They couldn't find what they needed to find. They had poked him and gouged him and poked him and gouged him. And Brother Gale looked up that lady, that nurse, and he said, honey, it's just about impossible to get blood out of me. And I said to Brother Gale, when God, all things are possible. If God is my witness, I went out because I don't do good with blood. I went out in a waiting room and I said, God, please help them to help Brother Gale. Help them to be able to get that blood out. I went back in there. They were done. I said, Brother Gale, how'd they do? He said, they got it the first time. I didn't tell Brother Gale what I just told you. But I'll tell you, some heaven came into my soul. I'm telling you this morning, we have a God that still hears and answers prayer. A God, as they sang a while ago, that cares for you and cares for me. Tonight, we'll get into John 1. We was headed that way, wasn't we? We'll get there tonight. It starts with the words, Brother Steve, in the beginning. I want you to think about something for just a minute. Think about this. How many of y'all know who John is? James and John, the sons of, anybody know? Zebedee. Somebody asked me one time, who was the father of Zebedee's children? You'll get that after a while. Sons of thunder. a fisherman. Jesus said, follow me. They left their nets and went with Jesus. In the book of Acts, I'm going to show you something right quick. We'll quit. In the book of Acts, you remember when Peter and John went down to the temple. Was it the ninth hour or hour of prayer? There was somebody begging, asking alms. And Peter looked upon him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the word of God said that man went leaping through the temple. I believe he's full, don't you? How many believes that helped Peter and John's battery too? Say amen. But what I'm getting to is this. John, watch this now. The Bible said of Peter and John that they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. That's what the Word of God said. You tell me something. I'll show you something, beloved. Listen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how John starts John's gospel. Does that sound like an ignorant man writing to you? Let me ask you this. How many's been down the trail far enough to know that John wasn't doing the writing? He's just writing down what somebody told him. Watch this now. I don't think you can make this up. John, by the way, I got a little challenge for you after a while. You go home, I want y'all to find the Christmas story. Come back tonight, find the Christmas story in John chapter 1. Everybody thinks that John left out the Christmas story. No, he didn't. He's a whole lot deeper in the Christmas story than anybody else is in the Christmas story. You find it in John chapter 1, would you? But John, this man that's a fisherman, they say he's ignorant, he's unlearned. He starts with the words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. We know that's the Logos. We know that's speaking of Christ. Watch this now. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for his testimony. In verse number 11 of chapter 19, I'm telling you, beloved, John has got it right in the beginning, and John has got it right in the end. I'm going to show you. Stay with me just a moment. The Word of God said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called, read it. Read it again, please. Brother Steve, here's this ignorant and unlearned man, a fisherman, but he had sense enough to know that it begins with the Word and it ends with the Word. And here's what God wants to say to a congregation of people today. If it begins with the Word and it ends with the Word, don't you think we would be wise to stay with the Word? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. By the way, beloved, let me just tell you this morning. Brother McCorkle, you've traveled this nation over, this world over. A lot of people have given up on the Word of God. The Word of God's not enough for a lot of people anymore. I tell you, if the Word of God won't get the job don't need to be done. There was an old-fashioned leather-lung preacher preaching the night that I got saved by the grace of God out of the same book that I'm preaching out of. I'm not interested in changing books. I believe with all of my heart, John knew what he was doing. Brother Eddie, when he said, "Let you not believe," I'm not just talking about getting saved. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. The devil didn't hate you too bad till you changed sides. And now he's going to do everything he can to keep you out of this book. To keep me out of this book. Somebody help me this morning. Because he knows if I get full of this book, I'll get full of joy unspeakable. Brother Brian, over in Nehemiah, I love you, brother. The Bible said the joy of the Lord's our strength. You've already found that out going down this trail, brother. When you got so weak and so low at times, you couldn't raise your head up again. God will come through. God will come through. It's this book. It makes a difference. What I think, what I say, doesn't matter. But I tell you what he thinks and what he says. It matters in the beginning. It's going to matter in the end. And I promise you, it matters in between. Let me just give you some things this morning. Let me bring it home, make it personal. So you'll know that I'm not throwing stones, I'm looking in the mirror. When I don't pray the way I should, you know the problem? I'm not believing God the way I should. Help me. When I don't witness the way I should, you want to know the problem? I'm not believing God. If I really believed that this bird, Brother Grissom said it wouldn't return void. If I really believed that, I'd give it out. Help me. I tell you, I believe a lot of our problems can be traced back to a faith problem. Let me just say it like this. When I don't behave the way I should, Brother Steve, it's because I'm not believing the way I should. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me real carefully right here. If every born-again believer really believed, be sure your sin will find you out. You'd run from sin and you'd treat it like a rattlesnake. Is anybody home this morning? We'd be careful with our eyes if we knew Jesus. We really believed he was looking at our heart. Am I right? In other words, Jesus said you don't have to commit adultery to commit adultery. You just look and lust. You've committed adultery already in your heart. If I really believed that, I'd be real careful with my eyes. Say amen. If I really believed that, I think it's somewhere in Proverbs, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? You'd leave that fire alone. Somebody help me. Now, I tried to make that personal this morning so you'd know I'm not throwing stones at you, but you know what? I've been down this road far enough to know there's not much difference between up here and back there. We've all got flesh. We've all got an enemy. And the enemy's design and desire, Brother Steve, you preached it the other night. What one man battles may be nothing to another man. One may be fighting strong drink, and another man's never drunk a drop in his life, don't want to drink. One man may be fighting gambling, and another man don't have anything whatsoever for gambling. One man may be fighting lust, and another man just doesn't have a problem at all with lust. But everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got a chink in their armor. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing that's going to keep the devil from having his way is this old book. I hope God has said something this morning that's stuck. If you had to take a piece of paper and write down this morning, saved or lost, which one would you write down, saved or lost? Beside that, you had to write down abundant life, joy unspeakable and full of glory, or something else. Which one would you write down? I tell you what would be better than that. I'm looking at my son-in-law. He and I have a lot of good conversations. We let our wife, our spouse, write the answer down. My husband or my wife has joy unspeakable and full of glory, or they don't. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because you can't hide it. Brother Sam, I'm not trying to play on heartstrings. It's your precious wife. So many times when somebody ought to have been dragging the bottom was full of joy, full of peace. Brother Fred coming up here like this, carrying that hip, sing that song, God reached way below the bottom for me that night. Tell his little jokes. If I had it to do over again, Brother Ralph, I'd have wrote every one of them down. Because the only one I can remember is the last one that he told me. Brother Fred said a guy come in to visit in the church. Said he sat down, said somebody come in, said, that's my seat. You're going to have to move. He got up and moved. Another fellow come in and said, I have you know that's my seat. You're going to have to move. So he got up and moved. Brother Fred said he went on up towards the front and sat down. Said a fellow come in and said, there's a seat beside of him. Over. He says, that seat saved? He said, that fellow looked up at him and said, as far as I know, it ain't even under conviction. Brother Ralph, that's him, ain't it? So full of life. So full of joy. Not wickedness. Not old dirty, filthy stuff out of this world. But Brother Fred believed that verse over there in Proverbs, a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. Amen. Where are we this morning? The Bible said, yet believing. Are we going to believe God? Or are we going to let the devil keep on robbing and stealing and cheating us out of the blessing? John chapter 20 and verse 30. Many other signs did Jesus, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe. I may be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I believe for our church, at this time in history, God's on to something right here, Sister Kathy. I believe he's on to something. He's looking for a people that say, God, I don't understand it, but I believe you. Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I believe you. Amen. I've got a problem, and I believe you. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. What Brother Brian taught in Sunday school this morning about comforting one another, I've wondered, Brother Brian, in those meetings, Sister Gwen, Sister Dolores is a good example of what I'm about to say. She's been battling that for 50 years. But it just progressively got worse. and worse and worse. And I'm wondering if we're not allowing our ailments, even at times, allowing our age, even at times. How many believes it'd be a lot more fun to go to church if you weren't hurting, if something wasn't hurting? Amen. But can I tell you this? Church is not supposed to be about what's hurting. It's supposed to be about who's helping. And it's supposed to be about our heart, not our body. Amen. So let's be careful. These are written that you might believe. That you might believe. And that believing you might have life through His name. How many believe Jesus wants us to have an abundant life? Full of glory. Full of joy. I believe that's what He wants us to have. And I believe we can have that on the mountain. I believe we can have that in the valley. Don't you? David said, I looked on my right hand in that cave. He said, refuge failed me. I looked on my right hand. There was no man that cared for my soul. But in the very next verse, he said, thou art my refuge. He could see the one that was in that cave with him. There's no other way you can explain Silas and Paul in that prison, dark, damp, beaten, bleeding. There's no other way you can explain those two men praying and praising God at midnight. Other than that, they had joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother Brian, Paul hadn't gotten over the Damascus Road. It was still an abundant life in that dark place in his life. It was still spilling over. I believe Paul would get full and it'd spill over on Silas, and Silas would get full and it'd spill over on Paul. They got so full, Brother Thurman, that God spilled it over in the Bible so every generation could get a picture of somebody that was suffering and yet full. Sister Dolores Long prayed. She didn't spend her time praying for herself. She spent her time praying for others. Sister Gwen, you talked to her a week ago, didn't you, honey? A week ago, and said, what are you doing, sis? She said, I'm laying here in the bed proofreading these lessons. Am I telling the truth, Sister Gwen? Still, something to do for God. Her husband writing the lessons, and she's proofreading them. If men write anything, some woman better proofread it. Amen. May God help us to believe Him. These are written that you might believe. That you might believe. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for this precious old book. God, it is my prayer today that You take these words and speak to our hearts. Help us, our Lord. Please help us. Help us, our Lord, not to dry up as we get closer to home. But help us to get filled up. So full, our Father, that someone else would want what we have in our heart and in our life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.